I want us to remember Selena Michelson. She's with us this morning, but going to the university this next week for yet another procedure. And I want us to remember that. Her name is on the prayer focus, as are many other names. We're rejoicing in our household because Catherine gets to come home Friday, praying for Selena. And so may the Lord be with you as you go through this again. And so we want to pray for each other because the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the remaining time that we have, if you've got your Bibles, I want us to turn to Matthew 22. We're still looking at parables. This parable very closely resembles the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. In as much that Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew 22. I'm reading verses 1 through 14. And it'll be on the big screen if you don't have your Bible with you. I hope you have your Bible with you. I hope you own a Bible. If you don't, you see us because we'll have one for you. And so follow along with me. This is called, the parable of the wedding feast. So here we go. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he launches into this parable, the fifth one that we've looked at in our series. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. We can figure that out, can't we? This would mean, yes, we can figure that out. This would mean, no, I can't. Work with me here this morning. We just started. A certain king wanted to arrange a marriage for his son. God sending Jesus to the earth to prepare the bride, the church. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. I did a wedding just yesterday here. It was a beautiful day for a wedding. And I like doing weddings. And I'm just thinking about this parable this week because I know I got a wedding on a Saturday and I know I'm going to talk about the wedding feast on Sunday. And I'm thinking, how would the bride and groom feel if they made all these invitations and nobody came? I was thinking about that yesterday. The bride and groom had people come yesterday. But that's what God is saying here. That's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. That is God my Father, he's saying, who arranged for this spectacular, this wonderful, this fabulous wedding and feast. And this verse says, God sent out, it says the king, but it's in essence God, sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, so they weren't willing to come. I wonder about humanity sometimes. Heaven, so glorious and so grand, so elaborate, so beautiful, without sin, without tears, without death, it awaits for everyone that will come to the Master, come to God. And yet there are people, Jesus tells us in this parable, and we see it every day, there may be people sitting in churches today that won't come, that won't prepare for the wedding and the feast that he's prepared for us. Jesus in the parable says, he sent out his servants, Old Testament, New Testament, disciples, John the Baptist, Jesus, whomever, and all-inclusive, to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out of the servants, it says, and he said, tell them, tell those who are invited, I've prepared the dinner. I've prepared it. I've got it all ready. The king says, come to the wedding. And verse 5 says, and I see it happening every day, but they made light of it. They went their own way. one back to the farm, one back to the business. Some of them seized the servants that the king had sent, treated them spitefully, and killed them. All they were doing is saying, come to the feast. Come to the wedding that the king has prepared. And some thought, you know what, I don't have time. I got to get back to the farm. You know what, got money to make. Got to get back to the business. Some of them didn't like what they said. Some of them, he said, used them spitefully and killed some of his messengers. We know that to be true. All we have to do is read the word from the Old Testament and the New. But when the king heard this, the story goes on. When the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. I was telling somebody just this week as I go through these parables, boy, they've been enlightening to me lately as I'm reading these parables. And I love reading them, I love studying them, and I love learning, and I'm still trying to learn. And I think this reference is to when Israel rejected Jesus, the Messiah was there amongst them, preaching, teaching, healing, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, casting out demons. He was here. And the nation rejected him. And I think this reference here is best I can tell. I think this parable then leads to the time when he said, and the king was furious that they rejected the offer to come to the feast. They even killed some of the messengers. Jesus says in the parable, he was furious and he went and he sent out his armies and he destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. I believe this is in reference to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 7 when the Roman general emperor Titus come down to Jerusalem and squashed it and killed tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Jews and leveled Jerusalem again. I think that's what he's making reference to. Because they rejected the Messiah. Verse 8 says, the king, then he said to his servants, the wedding, get the flavor now for a minute. The wedding is still ready. People have rejected me. People have rejected the invitation. People have rejected the offer. And Jesus says in this parable, remember it's a parable of a wedding and a feast. And in verse 8, he said to his servants, the wedding's still ready. Still waiting for people to come. But those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them all to the wedding. Invite them all to the wedding. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And we would think, hallelujah, end of the story. Man, oh man, the time's going fast. I got to hurry up. But it's not the end of the story. Because then there's a but. And every time there's a but, there's a turning point. And verse 11 says, but when the king then came into the wedding and he saw the guests, he saw there a certain man who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, he called him friend. He was ready to come to the feast, at least thought he was ready. And Jesus says, the king calls him friend, but he sees him there and he's really not ready. He notices he doesn't have on the wedding garment. And he says to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? Let me just say this. In that time, in that culture, coming to the wedding without the proper attire would have been a bad deal. It would have been a huge insult to the host. And he recognized immediately, straight away, he didn't have on a wedding garment. In verse 12, after verse 12, when he said, How'd you come in here like this? Verse 13, he says to the servants, bind them up hand and foot, take them away and cast them into outer darkness, and out there there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember last week we talked about five foolish and five wise bridesmaids, five foolish, five wise virgins that all were looking forward to the bridegroom coming, but only half of them got ready. And when the bridegroom came, it was just plain too late. The door was shut. Friends, that's going to happen to folks. Jesus wouldn't tell these stories if it wasn't true. That's going to happen to folks. They're not going to be ready. Could happen to us if we're not ready. They're all looking forward to the bridegroom. They thought they were ready. They had gotten a little oil. But in reality, they were not ready at all. They hadn't bought any oil. And we see the same thing happen in this parable of the wedding feast. And let me just say to us this morning, you can't come to the wedding feast without the garment. The garment is Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Because we can talk all day long how good we are, or how many times we've been in church, or how many memberships we got, or how many times we've been baptized. But if we haven't been born again, if we haven't put on the garment called Christ, we're not ready for the feast. In today's vernacular, when you hear over and over and over, yeah, but preacher, don't all roads lead to heaven? Isn't God a forgiving God? And doesn't He say at the end, yeah, I'll take you all? The Bible says Jesus is the way, the only way. And this person was at the feast and he hadn't put on the garment. He hadn't put on Christ. And there will come a day when people have been sitting in churches their whole lives. They have claimed to fame. It may be a church membership. Or maybe they gave some dollars to the kids that went and spent the night in the box. Whatever it was. But if they haven't put on Christ, they're only going to hear the words as we saw before. I don't know who you are. And they're only going to have this same occasion that happened to this person when the other servants gathered him up and bound him hand and foot, the Bible says, and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we don't put on Christ, that is the eternal result. And I know some of you probably are thinking, don't he talk about anything else? But I told you last week, and I'll tell you again today, I'm so thankful you're in church. Don't get me wrong, but going to church don't get you to heaven. Being born again gets you to heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again. When Kathy was playing that song, when we were passing out the parts of the communion, I could hardly hold back the tears. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. Only will we ever experience my chains are gone as if we've been born again. It's more than a head knowledge. I believe in God. That's a great start, but you must be born again. And this parable reminds us, like all the rest of the parables, of so many things. This wedding feast, it's an appropriate description of the kingdom of heaven. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like. And the main part, the main thought of the first part of this parable is the setting aside of Israel, because as a whole they would reject the invitation of Christ. They would reject the invitation of God, who said, I'm sending my Son to redeem the church, to bring you unto myself. And they went about their business, they went about their farm, they went about chastening and rebuking and killing the invitation bearers. And so the first part of this parable is clearly about the setting aside of Israel. Not entirely, but that group there rejected him. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. In the last chapter, if you look in Matthew 21, you see in there, I think it's in verse 45, they perceived he was talking to the Pharisees. They perceived he was talking about them. Well, he was. And he was telling, in essence, it's time to wake up. You guys still awake? Mm-hmm. Most of you look good. He was telling the Pharisees, in essence, it's time to wake up. The invitation has been sent. And he's saying the same thing for America and the world today. It's time to wake up. The invitation has been sent. And some of you will be too busy. Some of you will be too busy at the farm. Some of you will be too busy at the factory or making money or making whatever. Some of you will scoff at the invitation. Some of you will say later. Some of you will say whatever. And it will come a time when the wedding is prepared and it's time to call people home. And we will not be ready if we haven't put on the garment of Christ. And so I talk about this a lot because I don't want anybody not to be ready. Anybody! Not here, not the next church, not in between the churches. Not in your family, not in mine. I don't want people not to be ready, because the only opportunity when we have closed our eyes in death, or when Christ comes and the wedding feast starts, the only thing we're going to hear is, if we didn't put on the garment, is, I don't know who you are. And the only thing we're going to get then is weeping and darkness and gnashing of teeth. And I don't want that for anybody. That's why I say it over and over and over. You must be born again. Because that's what Jesus said. God was looking for a bride to offer His Son. People. It's not a denominational thing. Newsflash, in case you think it is, in case you think this church or the next one's got all the answers, we don't. It's not a denominational thing. It's a people coming to Christ and put on the garment kind of a thing. God was looking for a bride. Anybody, go out into the highways. Go out in the byways. You tell the bad. You tell the good. The invitation is out there for all of you if you'll put on the garment of Christ. And we see all these truths in this parable. I'm trying to sort through my notes because I got way too much for the time left. So let me focus for a moment to close on the person in the story who thought he too was ready. He hadn't taken advantage of the provision. He hadn't taken advantage of Christ. And I don't mean take advantage of him in that way. I mean he hadn't taken advantage of his knowing him and being redeemed. And he wasn't ready. The person in today's story thought he was ready. But he wasn't ready. I'm not here to condemn, judge, but the idea that all roads lead to heaven is false. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way. Period. I didn't make up the rules. I just read what the Word says. And the last verse, I know time is up, but bear with me. Kids, you got 5 more minutes? Can you hang on? Sweet. 5 hours. Verse 14. Last one of the parable. For many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation went out to everybody. Go out into the streets. Some of you remember when I used the word salt mines, referring to a place in New York City where Brooklyn Tabernacle people go. Go out into the salt mine. Go outdoor, go down by the red light district. Go to the drug addict. Go out to the bad and to the good and tell them, here's the invitation to come to the wedding. Many are called, but few are chosen, because few respond. Few respond to Christ. Well, I'm too busy. Well, I got a lot of time. Well, I got a lot of excuses. Many are called, but few are chosen, because few respond. I just want to say this, and I'm going to invite the praise team up and sing that last song for us. God's not willing that any should perish, friends. You know that, right? The Bible says that. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody in heaven with Him. But if individuals, you and I, and the rest of humanity, doesn't put on the garment of Christ, we aren't born again, we haven't repented of our sin, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and received Him. It says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, Romans 10 and 9, that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. If we haven't been born again, we haven't got on the garment. And if we haven't got on the garment, we're not ready for the feast. God's not willing that anybody should go to hell, but if we haven't got ready, there's only one other place we're going. If we haven't got ready to be with Him in heaven, then we're going to be eternally separated from Him. It's called hell. If any of us would outright reject Jesus, we would not make the eternal banquet. And you say, Jim, I would never do that. And that's the case for most people. Most people would never outright reject Jesus. But many are not getting ready either. They've not got on the garment. More subtly, many will think, well, I've been a pretty good person. Many will think, well, I got a church membership. Many will think, I've been baptized. But they haven't got ready. They haven't put on the garment of Christ. It brings me great heaviness to think about that day when the only words they will hear, take them away and cast them out into utter darkness. It breaks my heart. Millions will hear that. Some that are sitting in churches today because they didn't put on Christ. The only thing they're going to hear is, I don't know you. I don't know you. And for eternity, they're going to go the other way. It brings me great heaviness to think that people, maybe in my family, maybe in this church, they won't be ready because they never put on Christ. I'm a pretty good person. I went to church a little bit. Even got my name on the membership. But they never were born again. They never put on Christ. It'd be too late. It breaks my heart to think it's going to be real. They won't get ready. The invitation went out. We didn't get ready. I just want to say to you, get ready. Repent of sin. Receive Christ. He died for you. He died for me. Receive Him. Believe in Him. Trust Him as Lord. It's the only way. It's the only way.
receive Him today. If you want Richard or myself to help you with that, we'll do it. But receive Him today.